Now, not only at this time do we celebrate All Saints Sunday, which is indeed something we should remember, but we also come together and we remember Reformation Sunday. And Reformation Sunday is really comes out of a need from the church to be reformed. For centuries, the church had been plagued by false doctrines, superstitions, ignorance, and corruptions. And since most ordinary Christians were illiterate, they had little knowledge of the Scripture, and they relied on their clergy for religious instruction and truth. And tragically, like most organizations that are controlled by mankind, priests and pastors and bishops taught unbiblical doctrines. And spiritually earnest people tried to justify themselves by charitable works, pilgrimages, all kinds of religious devotion and performances. And yet they were still wondering, did I do enough to appease God? Did I perform enough of these things to make sure that God is happy with me and I'm going to escape His punishment? But the truth of the gospel, the good news that God is loving and merciful, and that He offers each and every one of us forgiveness, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us, was largely forgotten. And the Holy Spirit used a saint, an ordinary man who God blessed in extraordinary ways, by the name of Martin Luther, to bring the gospel back to the church as the chief cornerstone of Christianity. In today's text, as we look, we will see the basics of that doctrine that Martin Luther brought out and is taught by the church, brought to us. That we too can believe we are saints. Not because of what we have done, but because God has sent His Son to die for us. And He has shown us everything that we need to know. And because of this great sacrifice, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. Please be seated. Now it's interesting because in Martin Luther's time, this message was not well received. The message of justification by faith upset the apple cart because it no longer allowed people to pry people into doing things and guilting them into giving and into doing things that they wouldn't normally do. And unfortunately, even today, this message is not very popular. Justification by faith usually comes as, yes, we believe in justification by faith, but. And that's not what's taught. And so Paul goes through this whole thing in Romans chapter 3. He says, "For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God." Now what is that all about? It's interesting because if you go back into chapter 3, and I'll start at verse 9, what then? Well, no, I'm going to start at verse 11, or 10. "As it is written, none is righteous, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. Having turned aside, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of the asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. They feel they are, or their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And what Paul does there is he brings out the human race. All of us. Whether we like to admit it or not. This is who we are in the flesh. And so we can say that yes, we follow this law, this written code. And some will say, well, you don't actually follow that Jewish law anymore. But we make up our own. And this is really what has happened with Christianity throughout the ages. This wonderful gospel message comes, and then someone wants to add to it. The explosion of the gospel and forgiveness throughout, where people are receiving it, and then we want to go and control them. And so we bring up rules. But God doesn't say that. And Paul doesn't tell the Roman church that. Because he says in verse 20, "For by the works of the law, no human being may be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." If we're using the law, we use the law to tell people and let them know their need of a Savior. But most of the time when we deal with people, people know that they sin. It's not hard to figure that out. I drive my car too fast. I really don't like some of them people down the street. I do things that are just on the verge of legality. I always push the limit. I look down on my neighbors for not being as good as me. This is who we are as human beings. And if we read the law, and we especially read the law in conjunction with what Jesus tells us within the Sermon on the Mount, we find out that we are not justified. That we break that law each and every day. But Paul doesn't leave us there. And God doesn't leave mankind there. Because he says this, "For now the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." Something much better than what God gave the Jews in the desert of Sinai after their escape from Egypt has come. Oh, we want to keep resurrecting it, but something much greater has come. And that's what we heard from Jeremiah. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband." God was not the bad one within this relationship. Mankind was. "But this covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws within them. I will write it upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." This is the promise we have. No matter how bad you think you have been, no matter how bad the law convicts you, God has declared through the blood of His Son that He does not even remember your sin. That's how completely gone it is from you. We have an absolutely hard time understanding that because we don't think like that. Oh, we can say we forgive, but we remember. We remember all those past hurts and wrongs that we've faced in our lives. We even remember the past wrongs our kids did. But God's not like us. We're dealing with God. And when God sent His Son to shed His blood on a cross, not much unlike that one, His blood washed away the sin of the world. And that includes yours and mine. That is a truth for everyone. And I can declare it to you today that you are forgiven in the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And what He asks of you is that you do not reject that message. You see, Christianity gets sometimes labeled as being hard. You've got to jump through this hoop, you've got to jump through that hoop, you've got to act like me, you've got to go to this certain church or this certain church, you've got to make sure that you go to these right Bible studies and you read the right authors and you do all these different things. No. That is not Christianity, and it's far from Christianity. Christianity is believing what God has promised you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That you are forgiven. As far as actions and all that other stuff, guess what? If you are a child of God, He will take care of correcting you and guiding you and leading you on the paths that He has for you. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it. A righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Paul does not separate Jew and Gentile, does not separate people, all people. this has been done for. And this is the other thing that came in the Reformation. People are very easy to say, well, me and my church and those people who believe like me, they're saved. But the rest of them people out there, well, I don't know if they quite make it. That's not the way we look at things. We look at things in the way that God has told us to, that all people are forgiven. And if they believe in Jesus Christ, in His sacrificial act upon the cross, then they're believers. It's that simple. There is no distinction in people. And he goes on, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now I hear that quoted all the time to make us basically look bad, because they separate that verse out. But it's really one part of a whole statement. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's all one statement. All have sinned, but all are justified. And you can't just separate that out and use that willy-nilly to make somebody feel bad. Because are you a sinner? Yes. But are you justified? Absolutely. Are you saved? And does God look at you as what justified means? Just as if I had never sinned. Yes. And see, we can't do this with the Scripture where we start to beat people up with different parts of it and take it out of context. And this is done as gift. There's no way that you can earn it. You can't jump through enough hoops. You can't attend enough Bible studies. You can't teach enough Sunday school classes. You can't go to enough Sunday worship service to deserve it. You have been given it. It's a gift from God. Because He loves you. Just as you as parents know that no matter how bad your children may mess up, you still give them the best that you can. And how much greater is God's love for us than us for our children? And these are the things that we need to remember. That we are God's children. And God loved us so much that He brought His Son, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He passed over the former sins. God doesn't worry about sin. People look at me and go, "You're crazy. You can't say that." Yes, I can. Because God doesn't see it. He sent His Son to die and to take care of sin. He washed it away in the blood of His Son. Now, am I telling you that you should go out and sin? No. Heaven forbid, Paul says. Now that you are a child of God and you know this, what do you want to do? Do you want to serve Him? Or do you want to run out to the nearest sin that you can think of and do it? You can't. As a believer, you're not occupied by the power of the Holy Spirit. This now controls your life. Does that mean we don't mess up in the flesh? No. but it means each and every time we can go back to this and know we are forgiven. And all this was to show God's righteousness. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just in the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is all that's asked in Christianity. Do you believe God's promise through His Son and what He did through His Son Jesus Christ? And this is the message of the Reformation. That it would be by grace alone, through faith alone, and that Scripture would be our guide. And so do we have anything to brag about? What then becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. We no longer can boast in all the good stuff that we do. Because guess what? It's meaningless. That doesn't mean we don't do good things. What it means is it is God working in and through us, guiding us to those positions. So it is excluded by what? The law? By the law of the works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And that's what Christianity means. It doesn't mean that we don't do good works. It means our justification comes by the work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His sacrificial death and resurrection. It's not me up here telling you, well, now don't go do anything good. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to tell you to go do good things. My job is to encourage you to go and to spread this message and go and to love other people so that they too could know of this saving faith, of this faith. And I don't like saving faith because any faith in Jesus Christ is saving. But so that they too would believe that they are forgiven. As we are, in Jesus' name, and shed blood. And that's what Reformation Sunday is about, but it also is what All Saints Sunday is about, because all those saints believed in their Savior, Jesus Christ. And they now realize face to face the promise of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for this day. Thanks for the message of Your gospel, that we indeed are justified by what You have done through Your Son and not by what we have done. We thank You, Father, that You have sent people before us to demonstrate Your love for us, to show us Your love by action and by word. Father, we ask a blessing now on each person as we leave here, that we too would go out and be saints, be Your children as we have been called to be. That, Father, we would live each day in Your grace and Your love and Your mercy, and we would show that grace, love, and mercy to people around us so that they too could know of Your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father,